Okay. Hebrews 11, verse 6.
Yes, I've got that one. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him.
So it's impossible to please God without faith. So what else do we know about faith from that? It's essential. Essential for our salvation. Now what about belief? Is that the same?
No, they're not.
How would you describe belief?
Knowing something.
Knowing?
You can say, I believe such and such happened without actually knowing.
Okay, so you can believe without knowing.
Mm. Well, yes, you can.
Mm. They can believe
you can
knowing,
and it's also
not knowing. Feeling, it's like feeling sometimes. People use the word belief, don't they?
Yeah.
I feel it, I believe it, in that sense.
Yep. And don't forget, we've got a set of beliefs.
Yes.
Haven't we?
That's right.
A faith statement.
Faith statement. So is that like a doctrine? Yeah. Would you call it a doctrine? Or No, you should call it faith statement.
Like a credo?
I'm running out of room. It's almost like
an inner knowledge.
Sorry? It's almost like an inner knowledge.
Inner knowledge?
This is why the Gnostics got such a hard time, because, you know, the Orthodox Church wanted to trash their inner knowledge.
Mm. Okay.
You see, it's the foundation of how you operate. Mm.
Foundation.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
And see, that the belief can also come from the fact. So you might know the fact and believe that a fact happened.
Yep.
Or believe because a fact happened.
Yep. We've got foundation beliefs.
Yes.
Haven't we?
Yes.
There's certain ones we call foundation beliefs.
Yes.
But then you've got other ones.
It's tricky, isn't it? I tried to pull it apart, and again, I looked at the dictionary, and belief says confidence, reliance, trust, and faith. So, according to the dictionary, belief equals faith. And we know on so many levels it does, and there's so many different aspects as well. So what about work? Or work? The dictionary definition of work is labour, task. This is one I like. Apply yourself. Apply yourself. Exert yourself. Who's got James 2, verses 14 to 26, please? Sorry, I forgot I broke that down. We'll have the James 2 readings now in order that you've got them. So,
I've got 14 to 17.
Yep, 14 to 17. Thanks. Yep.
What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. The next one, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your work, and I will show you my faith by my work.
Okay, who's got the rest of
20 to 21.
Yep.
You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not your ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar?
You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. and the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend.
You see, that a person is justified by works, and not by faith alone. Likewise, was not Rahab the prostitute also justified by works when she welcomed the messengers and sent them out by another road? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead.
Thank you. So what do we learn about works from that?
You've got to do something.
You've got to do something. I like that. Got to do something.
Well, rather than got, we need to.
Need?
And a lot of people don't think that, do they? Don't think need there's a connection.
That's right.
So works is the outworking of faith.
That's right.
That's right. Outworking of faith. We apply ourselves. Dictionary definition of work, apply ourselves. So our faith is showing in our work. Now, if our faith is essential to salvation, what does then that say about our work?
Essential.
They are also essential. So these two are intrinsically woven together. As I need to. So let's have a little, I'm just going to use this board over here. Let's have a little very quick brainstorm about some works. What are some works that we could say show our faith?
Sharing.
Caring.
Father.
Yep.
Telling them about the gospel.
Okay. So preaching.
Helping them.
Helping. What are some of the ones you read just reading James?
Showing love.
Showing love. Yes.
Feeding people.
Feeding people.
Clothing.
Clothing.
Shelter.
Shelter.
Sharing.
Sharing.
Loving.
Loving.
Loving everybody. Loving your neighbor.
Loving,
sorry?
Your neighbour. Loving
your neighbour. Good one. Which is everybody.
What about the specific things?
Oh,
okay. Okay, we just took a collection for someone to help them. So financial help.
Mm-hmm.
Those in need.
Spending time.
Yep.
Hospitality.
Hospitality, yep.
Understanding.
Understanding. Work overseas? Sponsoring a child?
Listening.
Listening? What about making a meal for someone who needs it?
Driving someone around?
Driving someone?
Doctors and things.
Now we're getting more specific. It's kept out of everyday life, doesn't it? Little things that we've got to do. Okay. they're all great, lots of great ideas, and they show our faith, don't they? Or do they?
It depends why you do it. Exactly. Because there's lots of good people in the community. We do these wonderful things and don't even believe God exists.
So, faith apart from works is dead. I have to have work to show my faith. But those works do not prove my faith of themselves. Do they? Just something to think about. I'd like to have a look at
that's
a work.
That's not the atheist. We do works.
Exactly.
But they don't do it in the name of Jesus.
They don't do it in the name of Jesus. And they don't do it for the right reasons.
But a lot of Christians do that too.
That's true.
Yeah, I was going to say, what do you mean by they don't do it for the right reasons? We do it for Jesus.
Exactly.
What about them? Just purely altruistic.
Humanistic point of view, they need help. I help
wrong.
Them, I'm a nice person. It's not wrong.
It's not wrong.
But it doesn't prove my faith.
No, exactly.
That's what I'm saying. Because I can do that without being a Christian and without having any faith in God.
Yeah.
So I need those things as an outworking of my faith. But of themselves, they don't prove my faith.
And also people with a faith. Say they've got faith in Jesus, but they don't.
Exactly. Exactly.
See, but it's in, I'm just trying to find where it says that, you may even have the quote, good works that I have prepared for you.
This God has prepared.
They're not our good works.
No.
They're God's works.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I see people out there doing really good works, I can't help but think, you're just the person God would want to know about him, you know?
Yeah.
And I just think, I wish you were just...
Yeah, just be a good Paul and just steer in the right direction. Just get a bolt of lightning and go that way. Okay, I would like to have a look at now at a work that you might not have considered before as a work. And a work that you can't see. Does that make sense? Who's got John 6, verse 28 to 29? Could you read that, please?
28.
Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent.
Anyone find that interesting? What is the work of God? This is the work of God, Jesus says, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So now we have a link. Here to believe. A work to believe. But when I read that, that really jumped out the page at me. I never considered believing as a work. I thought you believe, you get baptized. You know, you believe is just what's there. It's here. It's your faith, it's foundation, it's your religion, it's tied up in your faith. But I never considered it as a work until I read that verse. And I thought, wow, a work is to believe. That is the work of God. Now, when Jesus was asked that question, why didn't he list all these wonderful things? Why didn't he say, well, you should be feeding the poor and clothing the needy and being hospitable and doing all these things when he was asked, what are the works of God?
It doesn't require belief.
Because they don't require belief. Exactly. The one statement, the one thing that Jesus answered that applies to everyone equally is to believe. See, I might not be able to go overseas and do mission work. I might be able to do some of those things, but I'm not be cut out to do all of them. We've all got different abilities, so we all apply those things differently in our lives. But we all have to apply believing as a work.
Well, it's hard work to believe sometimes.
Exactly.
Because there's all sorts of things coming at you all the time to destroy your belief.
Exactly. So I wondered when I read this, is this unique, this idea? And then I came across another verse. 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 2 to 3, please.
We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labour of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father.
Thank you. So, there we have work of faith. Now, whenever I'd read that before, I kind of just skipped over it, went, yeah, okay, we say, well, work, that's all the work that is applying to our faith. But then when I read it again, I thought, work of faith. That's very much like the work of believing, isn't it? A work of faith. So it's not enough to know that God exists, to merely believe in God, to be baptized. It's not even enough to just do all these wonderful things. What we must do is continue to work at believing. So how do we apply this instruction in our lives? You can't see my beliefs and I can't see yours. Picture a scenario. You're sitting at the top of a roller coaster ride, strapped into the carriage. No way of getting out. No way out but down. You don't want to go. You want to get out and you can't. You know what's coming? There's a very big hill. You're terrified and you don't know what's round the next bend. You're scared, uncertain and strapped into that ride. How many of us have had experiences in our lives where we feel like that? Maybe it's diagnosis of an illness. Maybe loss of a loved one. Loss of friendships, relationship breakdowns, family moving away, children getting married. We all have challenges that we have to face. Big changes that come into our lives. And as Val said before, these all have a big impact on our faith. I felt like that when my kids left home. They left within 2 days of each other and I felt like my whole world fell apart. It's probably a perfectly normal part of life, but for me it was devastating at the time. They both left and I became an empty nest overnight. I became redundant. I didn't know what I was going to do. I wasn't a mother anymore. And I didn't know what God was doing with me and what direction I was going to be taking. So where did my journey take me with my faith? Where did your journey take you with yours? Did I struggle to believe in God? I still had faith in God. I still believed God existed, although I had a question or two for him. I still had my fundamental belief system. I never doubted the existence of God. But what I struggled with was to trust that he was the driver of this roller coaster ride. To trust that he was in control and he was at the steering wheel of my life. I had to work at believing. I had to work at believing God was in control when it seemed like everything was going wrong. Now that was only a minor thing. You've all had other things in your lives and some of you have had much more major things. And sometimes we can say this is not the way I would have chosen to do things, but my ways are not God's ways. Sometimes we just get dragged kicking and screaming through a situation, don't we? Mm-hmm. Handing over the reins and letting go of my own control was something that took work. A lot of work. It didn't come naturally. I had to work at believing God was doing what was best for me and my family. But nobody else could see this work. It was a work that was going on inside me. It was a work of faith. And a work that moulded my relationship with my God. Hebrews 11 verse 8, please. How can you read that?
By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to the place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going.
I wonder how Abraham felt when he was asked to move his entire household, no small feat, to a place he didn't know. I wonder how he felt. I kind of felt a little bit like that when, you know, you don't know what direction you're going and you don't know what the next step forward is in life, but he picked up his whole family and left. I wonder how he felt when he was asked to offer up his only son. Did he have a dilemma of faith? His logical and natural responses must have been on overdrive as he struggled to understand why God would ask this of him. He'd been waiting more than half a century for this child. What was God thinking? But we're told Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. His faith was counted to him as righteousness. Why? Because he trusted. Where did we have trust? He trusted God was in control of his life, even though he didn't know where he was going. Isn't this just like us? Don't we sometimes feel like that? We don't know where we're going. We don't know what's around the corner. We don't know why this particular situation has happened. But trusting God is in control. And if we trust that God is in control, will it not also be counted to us as righteousness? You know, sometimes we think we're not big people when we think about we compare ourselves to the faithful men and women of old and that wonderful honour roll of faith in Hebrews. Would we expect to find our names there? I probably wouldn't. But these people were just like us. The one thing that they had in common was faith. Trusting God was in control of their life in every situation. Even though when they didn't know where they were going. Isaiah 48:17 says, I am the Lord your God who directs you in the way you should go. And Jesus said, I will not leave you or forsake you. What wonderful comforting words these are. What wonderful and amazing assurance from God and Jesus that they will never leave us and will always direct us. Now, that might be okay for the big things in life. The life-changing, life-threatening situations. We always turn to God then, don't we? Maybe we've even been blessed enough to experience a miracle or two that we can tell people about. But what about the little things? What about the everyday things? The decisions I make today or tomorrow? The people I meet? And this is where prayer comes in. Prayer and faith are bound together. We cannot have a relationship with God and Jesus without prayer. Abraham was called the friend of God, and God spoke to Moses face to face. This is where every day comes into the picture. Our daily relationship with God. What do we talk to him about? What do we pray for? And how do we interpret those answers to those prayers? Isaiah 65:1.
I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. To a nation that did not call on my name, I said, here am I.
Here am I.
Here am I.
In another version, it reads, I was ready to answer their prayer, but they did not pray. How sad is that? God is sitting there waiting to answer our prayers. But how often do we forget to ask him? Or we don't believe he's interested in our problems. Maybe we think he's only interested in the big scheme of things, in the big picture in the world. We might not think he's interested in the little stuff. But the little stuff is what we deal with every day. It makes up our lives. And I believe God is interested in the little stuff. John 14:12-14 says,
I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask him for anything in my name, and I will do it.
Isn't that amazing? Can you stop and think about that? If you ask anything in my name, anything, I'll do it. I'd like to share a little story with you. I have a bad back. In fact, it started as back feet, bad knees when I was a kid, progressed to bad hip, bad back. When I started playing the harp, became a bad hand. Pretty much I've got a bad body. And I'm looking forward to the kingdom so I can get a new one. a few of you can probably relate to that. A couple of years ago, I was looking for a new therapist because I have to have regular maintenance on my body to keep it going, a bit like a car, you know, grease and oil change every month. I was looking for a new therapist. And I said to God, I need a new therapist. I don't know where to turn. I don't know who to go to. There's so many people out there. Someone might hurt my back, you know. Blah, blah, blah. I also am an Agon rep. Now, one of the least favourite parts of my job is actually putting brochures out on people's doorsteps and going collecting them. I don't like doing that. Mm. But you need to do it to grow your business. So one day I had this really strong feeling that I had to go and put some brochures out just around the corner from me. I can't be bothered. And this really strong feeling wouldn't go away. Go and put some brochures out in those houses. It's only about 20 brochures. So I did. And when I went to pick those brochures up, I was standing at the door talking to a lady about Avon and what she might be interested in and what makeup she'd like, etc. Wasn't thinking about anything else. And suddenly she stopped and she said, wait there. She went inside and she came out and she handed me a card for a massage. First treatment free. And I looked at it and I said, Rotai massage, never heard of that. Why did you give me that? She said, you've got a bad back. I said, how do you know that? She said, I just know. I said, okay, tell me about this treatment. Well, it's something I hadn't heard of. She said, hang on, I'll get my friend. And she brought Jan out. And Jan had a chat to me about the treatment. And I said, well, I'm free now. Here's free treatment. Okay. So I walked into this complete stranger's house, lay on their table, and said, treat me. I was fully clothed. Okay. The lady who owned the house, she and her husband were massage therapists. The lady who talked to me about the treatment, her name was Jan, and she was a student there. She was learning. There was another student sitting in the corner. There were four people in the room, and I had three of them working on me, one pulling my foot one way, one poking me here, one telling me to pull my arm here and there. It was quite an amazing experience. And the lady that was working on my hand said to me, oh, you've got lovely hands. And I said, oh, they're Harper's hands. And she said, I know you. She said, I've met you. She said, I saw you in Parramatta Mall playing your harp. And I suddenly went, I know who you are. You're the lady that bought me a drink of water. She has heard my music from Parramatta, Westfield. She had walked all the way down listening to the harp, looking for me. She saw my sign. I'll never forget this. She saw my sign and said, butterfly harpist. I had a dream about butterflies last night. I was meant to meet you. Sat and listened to a beautiful song that I played for her. Then went and bought me a bottle of water. And she handed me a card that said, massage therapy. First treatment free. I said to her, I've had your card sitting in my music folder for 2 years. And I said, just this week I got it out of my folder and put it on the bed and said to myself, got to ring that lady, got to ring that lady. And I said, I still haven't done it. But God said, you need that lady.
So he sent you around the corner.
So he sent me around the corner and I met that lady. And that day was the last day that Jan was in that house with those people before they opened up their shop out at Penrith and weren't going to be practicing in the house anymore. And these people lived literally around the block from me. Now, I believe God worked in my life. I have had people say to me, so what? I have had Christians say to me, so what? That was just a coincidence. Anybody can make a decision to do anything, so what? I do not believe that. I believe God was working in my life. I will give you anything you ask for, says God. I believe we'll find a new massage therapist for you. I'll put you in the right place at the right time. And he did. And Jan is a beautiful, beautiful spiritual lady. And it is a blessing that I know her, and we both believe that God put us in each other's lives. And when she's working on me, and I've overdone it with my harp, you know what she says to me? Jenny, did you ask the angels to hold your arms up? You know he will. She's wonderful. And I firmly believe that God put her in my life. And that is not the only time that's happened. Now, why would God care about the little things? Because it's the little things that make up our lives. It's the little things. That gives me faith. That increases my faith. It increases my relationship with my God. And it might not be to you, and it might not be a proof to anybody who doesn't believe. But to me, it is. So, is this time and chance, or is it coincidence? Now, to those people who say to me it's coincidence, I have said to them, you know what? Atheists believe that by time and chance the universe came into existence. But I believe in a divine creator who knew me before I was knit together in my mother's womb. Jeremiah 1 verse 5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Wow! A divine creator who tends the lilies of the field, who sees every sparrow falling, who knows the number of hairs on my head, who has my best interests at heart, and who has a plan and purpose for my life, and who is waiting to answer my prayers. Isn't that amazing? We have such an amazing, amazing opportunity to have this wonderful relationship with God. Jeremiah 29:11-13, please. Lucky you.
For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart.
Well, that is, thank you. That is, of course, talking about Israel. But aren't we also Israel by adoption and grace? Time and chance or coincidence or a divine being. I'd rather give the glory to God for something he might not have done than not give him the glory for something he did.
Thank you.
I've never forgotten that talk about the
car parking space you're getting
close
to the shop. Did God give it to you or not? Yeah. What would you rather
thank him than
ignore something he gave you? Exactly. Exactly. I firmly believe that. I think it's almost like denying God.
Yes.
If you deny that he's worked in your life.
Yes.
If you won't acknowledge it and you are a Christian.
Yes. Yeah, none of you who have kids would think, well, you know, I'm not interested in what you do every day. I'm just, you know, just looking at the big picture, make sure you get grown up and and all that. Like, you know, you're interested in your kids, what they're doing today, what they've done at school, the people that they've met. And, you know, you're interested in all the little things. You want to hear all about them. But Jesus answered, have faith in God. Mark 11, verses 22 to 24.
Jesus told his disciples, have faith in God. If you have faith in God and don't doubt, you can tell this mountain to get up and jump into the sea and it will. Everything you ask for in prayer will be yours if you only have faith.
Whatever we ask, if we only have faith. Well, those words do sound easy, don't they, sometimes? Why is it then sometimes that it seems like our prayers don't get answered? Why do they sometimes not appear to get answered? All we need is faith. Whatever we ask in prayer, believing we've received it will be ours. Well, I think there may be a couple of reasons for that. Firstly, what parent ever gives their child everything they ask for? Maybe God in his infinite wisdom knows what is best for me even if I don't think so at the time. He may not give me what I ask because he has my best interests at heart. Or maybe there's another reason. James 1:5-8, please.
If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. It will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded and unstable in all his ways.
Wow.
Me.
Wow. I think that's all of us.
That's a worry, doesn't that mean?
They're really strong words.
Yeah.
Can I tell you a specific story? Some people here have heard it.
Yes.
That was me on a plane because I didn't like flying.
Yeah.
And a whole lot of things were happening, and it's normally me, I'm shaking before I get on. I'm really scared, and I really not want to fly, stopping us from actually having holidays. That's how bad it was. And we've been studying James in Bible class, and got me to go on the plane. A whole lot of circumstances were coming and making me really nervous. Sat down and in such a thing together, which was good. And I said to Sam, I've been praying about it, and I said to him, he said, really, I was shaking and my stomach was churning and I couldn't eat, couldn't think about anything. And, you know, he just sort of said, I said, look, I've prayed about it and I'm still shaking. And I said, because he's very patient. And I said, well, you know, we've been studying James. That must mean I haven't got enough faith because I have prayed about it and I don't believe that he could do it. And I said, oh, I won't be scared anymore. And I just felt this whoosh go out of me.
Wow.
And the fear went.
Wow.
I've never had a butterfly since, and we're talking 10 years.
Wow.
And I've been able to fly around the world and do everything without a butterfly, even had bad landings without butterflies.
Fantastic.
And so it was a matter of recognising the words of God, really, and I think, and acknowledging that I didn't have enough faith. And he refilled that. Because when I came home, of course, I was quite excited, told people, and some people would say, you know, that's great. Other people would quite say, well, that's just your mind.
Oh, yes.
I've always remembered it as an example
yes.
of how God can give you that peace that passes understanding, that when he can just take that fear away.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for
sharing. Sorry
for
interrupting. But
no, that's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I can still feel it 10 years later.
Yes. Because it was such a real experience for you.
Mm.
Yep.
Mm.
See, now that's a work in your life that I can't see.
Mm. Mm.
But it's a work. It's a work of belief.
Mm. Mm.
And you have increased your faith because of it and increased your relationship with God because of it.
Mm.
Thank you for sharing that. So, doubt. Wow. If only I had the faith the size of a mustard seed, I could remove my mountain of doubt. Maybe doubt is getting in the way. Where does doubt fit into this picture? Where does doubt fit into this picture?
Not enough, colleague.
Doubt's always around. It's always there.
It is. But it's the enemy of belief.
Remember doubting Thomas.
Exactly. It's the opposite of faith.
Mm.
And it is counteractive to our work of belief. Easy to say. We're told that Thomas doubted. And then in seeing, he believed. So, that's probably where we get the expression, seeing is believing.
Mm.
But what about if we turn that around? Believing is seeing.
Well, it was for him.
Seeing was believing for him.
Thomas.
Seeing was believing, but what about believing is seeing? Believing is seeing through the eyes of faith. And
I was just going to say, it goes on to say, you believe because you've seen, but blessed are they who have not seen and yet believe.
Exactly. And what's not seen? Faith. Evidence of things not seen. Okay, belief is something you have seen, being certain of it. It's the assurance of things not seen. That's the Bible definition of faith. So believing is seeing. It's knowing. It's that assurance. I know God is working in my life. I know He's directing my path. I know He cares about every little thing in my life. And when we truly believe, we will see God working in our lives, as Julie has said. And no one else can see my belief, and I can't see yours. That is the work of faith. That God is working through Jesus in my life and in yours. I'd like to have a look at a few examples from Scripture of people who've all been in a similar situation and their reaction. And I just write my over here. And so, Manoah.
Then Manoah prayed to the Lord, O Lord, I beg you, let the man of God you sent to us come again to teach us how to bring up the boy who is to be born. And verse 12 says, so Manoah asked him, when your words are fulfilled, what is to be the rule for the boy's life and work?
Thank you. So what do we see about Manoah's reaction? Teach us what we're to do with the boy that will be born.
Yes.
He believed. When your words come true, what is the direction in the boy's manner of life? 1 Samuel 1 verse 18.
And she said, let your servant find favour in your eyes.
Then the woman went her way and ate, and her faith was no longer sad.
Thank you. She went away, and her faith was no longer sad. Why was her faith no longer sad?
Because she believed.
She believed. She hadn't yet received. She hadn't even conceived at that stage, but she believed. Her countenance was no longer sad. So just like Julie was saying, you just change. You know there's that change. You believe that that change has happened. Luke 1 verse 38.
And Mary said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her.
Let it be unto me according to your will. Thank you. And Luke 1 verse 45. Someone got Luke 1 verse 45?
I have Luke 1 verse 20 as well, so it's really there. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished.
Thank you. Blessed is she who believed that there will be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord, it will be accomplished. Blessed is she because she believed. And how poignant is that, that Elizabeth said that? Because at the time, what was happening? Luke 1 verse 18. What did Zechariah say?
Verse 18, Zechariah said to the angel, "How will I know that this is so? For I am an old man and my wife is getting on in years."
And Luke 1 verse 20.
"And now you will be silent and not speak and not able to speak until the day is happened. Did not believe my words, which will come true at
their proper time." So Elizabeth said to Mary, "Blessed is she who believed." She was living with a man who was dumb, who was silent because of his unbelief. What a lesson for her. What a lesson in belief. What a lesson in faith. She was living with the proof. You need to believe. Because Zechariah was punished for not believing. And Jesus said later to his disciples, Mark 16 verse 16, "He who does not believe will be condemned." And there was Zechariah, condemned for his lack of belief. Despite the fact that he was spoken to by an angel. Wow! I would have loved it if God came and spoke to me and said, "This is the way you're going to go, and this is what you have to do, and these are the decisions you need to make." Wouldn't it be awesome? We don't have that. Zechariah was condemned for his lack of belief. Zechariah says, "How do I know? How do I know?" How many times do we hear that? How do you know that God working in your life? How do you know that's just not coincidence? How do you know God answered your prayer that way? How many times do we hear that? Well, we ask that ourselves. But we don't always know. We don't always know how, why, or when. But what is our instruction from Jesus? What is the one thing that we are all instructed to do? We must always, always believe. And this is the work of God that Jesus instructed all of us to do, to work at believing. That is the work of faith in our lives every day. Thank you. Now, have we got time for song?
Yes. Yeah.
I wrote this a couple of weeks ago. And it's come out of a place I'm in my life at the moment, as most music does. And for some of you, you know, been having a little bit of a struggle with my spiritual life. We all go through ups and downs, and I'm looking for direction. We all do from time to time. So this came out of that, the place that I'm in at the moment. And if I had enough time, I'd share another story with you about someone that God's put in my life recently, and I've just blows my mind. And she's my Avon manager, and she's also a really strong Christian spiritual lady. Boy, the story. Sorry?
We all better get into Avon. There's good messages in Avon for you.
Well, you know, I will just quickly share this. She's just such a beautiful person, and I've gone into sales leadership, which is recruiting and training new reps, and it's hard, but a few years ago, I gave it up. Started it again when we got this new manager. And I said to God, look, I don't really know, you know. I don't know if it's the right direction for me and blah, 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 blah. Always ask God for help. And this manager is dynamic. God just puts amazing people in my life, and I just think, wow. It turns out she's a really strong Christian. You know, when I'm lying awake at night my first week and everything's buzzing in my head and I can't sleep, she says, now, this is my prayer when I can't sleep in the middle of the night. You know, I hand it over to Jesus and she gives me this little prayer. Wow, here's my Avon manager preaching to me about things that I should know myself as a Christian. And she had an experience that she shared with me. And I'm sure she won't mind me sharing it with you. But she goes out in the street, and this is what I'm learning to do, is to go up to anybody, complete stranger, and talk to them and ask me if they'd like to be an Avon rep. Like, it's, you know, it's a bit daunting. She will go up to anyone and talk to them. Anyone. She was at Central Station one day. Hundreds of people walking towards her. Hundreds of people. And she said, I saw a girl, and she was glowing.
Glowing.
Glowing. She said, I knew I had to speak to that one. Out of that sea of people, she said, I knew I had to speak to that lady. Turns out that lady had been a Christian, had lost her way, and was looking for a way back. And she said to me, sometimes, there's not an Avon reason why I'm doing things, it's a God reason. She said, I might be working with Avon, but it's a God reason. She's the only manager I've ever known that takes a Bible to the meetings and says, anybody need a Bible? And at our motivational talk the other day, she handed out Bible verses. Like, amazing. And when I told her I'm doing this talk today, she said, I'm praying for you. And she sent me a message, you know. Mm-hmm. God has put amazing people in my life.
And they're angels.
And they're.
He's your angel.
Absolutely.
For this time.
For this time. Mm-hmm. That's right. And I firmly believe it. And the direction my life's taken in the last couple of months is just like, wow. I didn't know I was going there.
I think we're different now. We used to think that we should be in the world but not of it.
Mm.
But we're benefiting now from being in the world and being part of that sort of world, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And it makes us more and more faith.
Exactly, it does.
And another thing, if some of the things that you pray for, that you really articulate about and keep praying about don't happen, like the death of a child that you've been praying for, it's a matter of faith that you're able to keep going.
That's right.
Or if you lose a husband or if you lose something really important in your life, and God knows a better way for that to happen.
That's right.
Than to keep on believing.
Yes.
Is,
that's the work, something. Isn't it? That's what this work is all about.
Yeah.
Work to keep on believing.
Going, no matter what. God knows best.
Yes. Thank you for sharing.
But isn't that basically, you're saying that's the work, that Jesus is right, because that's the work we have to do.
Yes.
That, you know, he talks about works like getting the kingdom. That's the work we have to do. Is our,
that's right.
The work of our belief. Because the works that we do are God's works.
Yes.
And God's doing them through us.
That's right.
And so they're not our works.
That's right.
They're not the works. Yeah, that's a good point that you've made. The works that we do on our, is working on our faith.
Yes.
And then, because the other works aren't ours.
No.
We can't take the credit for those.
No, that's right.
We do them in Jesus' name. He's got the credit for the work. And so that's why it's not about working to get into the kingdom.
No, not about scoring brownie points, how many things can I
do? That's right. The only hard work you need to do in the kingdom is to keep your faith alive.
That's right. Because Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do my commandments.
That's right.
Just and so we'll all automatically do those things. Yeah.
That's a good point.
Okay. Has anyone else got anything before I share this song with you? No? Okay. It's called You Walk Beside Me. Can you hear what you're saying?